The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
2-2 the score. Utah Mammoth sent it down the ice. Uh-oh, trouble right here as they score. A turnover by Askarov, and it's in the back of the net for Liam O'Brien, of all people. 3-2, Utah, on a mistake by the Sharks goaltender.
Ryan, why the slow start tonight?
I don't know. Have to ask guys.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is Saturday, October 18th. The Sharks have played four games this year. They have not walked away with a win, and it feels that the season is already at a hinge point, and that might be tonight's game against Pittsburgh. And if the Sharks don't win tonight, I don't know when that first win comes. And Pittsburgh, they are not a great team, but they are a prideful team. They are 3-2 on the year. They've got some great all-time players on that squad. But this has to be a moment where the Sharks have to put their foot down and decide what way this season is going to go. And I'm not trying to be overdramatic. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. I am not trying to be overreactionary. But there is a problem right now. There is something going on with this San Jose team that has them repeating all the same sins of a year ago and in some ways taking steps backwards. You know, we go back to what we saw to start off the regular season. Opening night, it was a freak play at the end, but they still found a way to lose. It was inexplicable, but even still, they found a way to lose. Then you go to the overtime loss against the Ducks. Now, I can make an argument that the Sharks scored a lot of goals in that game, but they didn't play particularly well, but they still were in it. They got a point out of it. They lost 7-6 when all was said and done. Against Carolina, they got absolutely smashed by a final of 5-1, and the final 20 minutes where they only had one shot on goal was not a good look for San Jose. It looked like the team had simply lost their will to compete. For some inexplicable reason, and I can't tell you why, that play carried over into the first period against the Mammoth. And for the first 10-ish minutes of that game, they were just dead in the water and did not look like they had the fight, the will, the compete level, all the things that we've talked about over and over and over. And they found themselves in a 2-0 hole pretty quickly in this game. And you wondered, okay, is this going to get into an ugly game, or are they going to be able to turn things around? Thankfully, they started to compete in the second 10 minutes of that first period and got themselves a little bit of a footing in the game, for lack of a better term. They looked a little bit better. Second period, they come out and they tie things up and they make it 2-2. But then everything turned in the game on that bad play by Yaroslav Askarov, where he comes out, mishandles the puck. It goes in the back of the net, and suddenly you're down 3-2. And it seemed like the Sharks, after starting out slowly and continuing from one game to the next, about 30-ish minutes of just absolutely just listless hockey, put up some fights. And then when they were met with opposition once again, they just completely collapsed. And they go on to lose by a final of 6-3 in this game. Yes, there are a couple bright spots. Tyler Toffoli keeps scoring. Jeff Skinner, up to this point of the year, has played at a very high level and looks like a very good acquisition. Macklin Celebrini, another multi-point game on the year. He's got 5 points in 4 games. Will Smith, he did pick up a point, but he was sat down for part of that game, and I'm not going to be surprised if some sort of message is sent to him going in tonight's game because he needs to be better away from the puck. But it's not just Will Smith. It's not just one line. It is the entirety of the team. And really, in that first period, the only line that was giving the Sharks much juice was that fourth line, And that's what that line is supposed to be out there. They're supposed to be, you know, identity guys. They're supposed to create things. They're supposed to be physical. And that's fine. I'll take that every single night from those guys. But the entirety of the team needs to be better. The defense far too many times was in the wrong place at the wrong time, or looked flat-footed, or was not positioned well, or reacted too slowly. And that can't keep on happening consistently. No one is going to come and save the San Jose Sharks. Yes, Sam Dickinson showed a little bit of growth in this game. We got to see him a little bit on the power play. We got to see just a little bit of growth for him. But as a teenager, it is not dependent on him singularly to save the Sharks. Michael Misa, I would imagine he's going to play tonight in this game against the Pens. He is not going to save the Sharks. Now, could he blow up and have a remarkable performance? Definitely possible. Definitely possible. He has the ability to do that. He has game-changing ability, but that's one game. The problem for San Jose is this is now an issue that is more than one game into the year. They have had two straight games where they've come out extremely flat, and they just don't look like they are all operating on the same page. I don't know if that's caused by the amount of turnover on the squad and the amount of new faces. I don't know if that's caused by guys still getting used to their respective roles in this respective system. I don't know what it is, but we can all identify that something has happened that has not allowed them to perform at nearly as high of a level as what we would have hoped. And I don't want to think that these guys are already defeated by what happens in the previous season, but it does have a little bit of that feeling like there is a carryover effect. You know, we know what the Sharks have been overall throughout the past few years, you know, hovering around 20 wins. And we saw far too many games where they just were the lesser talented team and their effort was great, but the outcome was not on their side. And then that starts to build on guys. It starts to wear on guys. It starts to have a cumulative effect. And yes, last year, Will and Mac made things very, very fun. You got to see Colin Graf. You got to see, you know, Yaroslav Askarov, you know, come up and look really, really good. But, you know, right now, you know, Will and Mac, yes, they're still very, very talented players, but it's not enough for this squad having fun to put them in a position to win. You can see the weight of losing stacking up on these guys. And in the game last night, it didn't feel like they had enough of the ability to react and fight back against the game. And that's what I'm concerned about. It's the cumulative weight of losing. And I don't know what's going to change it. I would imagine that something akin to the meeting they had a couple of years ago after they lost two games in which they gave up 10 goals consecutively to Vancouver and Pittsburgh. You know, there was a meeting. You had Mike Grier come down and talk to the squad. Maybe that type of a thing is going to go on again. I don't know. I know the Sharks cannot keep up at this pace where they're giving up 22 goals over four games and expect things to improve. There were many concerns that I had going into this season, but it's almost like there was a worst case scenario that worked itself out in front of us in real time. And that's what we're watching with this team. It just doesn't make any sense that they're not playing a little bit better than this. I understand that, you know, you can make the argument that they, even with the improvements what they made, are still the worst team in the NHL. That's a relatively valid argument. The part that bothers me is that almost everyone looked at the squad and said, yes, they should be able to take steps forward. They should be able to go from a 20-win team to somewhere to a 25 to 30-win team. And by starting out on the exact same narrative they've started out on the past 3 years, you go back a couple years ago, they lost the first five. You know, then 2 years ago, it was double digits to start the season on a losing streak. And then you go back to last season, it was nine games winless before they finally won the 10th game of the year. And once again, they're the last team in the NHL without a win. These are the things that they need to fight against because it is, to an extent, hurting the culture. It is making them look bad. It is making it seem like San Jose can't get out of their own way, especially when you look at some of the errors that they are making, like they did in game number one, like they did in game number two, like they did in game number four last night when they fought their way back into it at tie at 2-2, and then they shot themselves in the foot and just kind of collapsed. This team is better than that. And, you know, I sympathize with head coach Ryan Warsawski when says, why did the team come out, you know, so slowly and not with the compete level. He said, you'll have to ask the guys. Because, listen, I'm sure he is wondering to himself, what do we have to do here to get these guys to show up and play? What do we have to do that was not hammered home by the way they played in that third period against Carolina, in which they didn't do much of anything? And then to come out and look even worse in the first 10 minutes of that game, it's relatively inexplicable. And listen, I understand that guys are new here. Systems are new. All of these things are, you know, relatively new. Guys are learning. But I do feel like there is enough talent with this squad for them to have a higher level of compete. And I think that's the distressing aspect of this, is that when you are asking the Sharks to level up their competition, they're not responding. Game number one, listen, I'm not bummed about that game. There were a couple of fluke freak plays that allowed them to lose, but you can't have it crush or crater the entirety of the season. Just like game two, you needed that team to come up and compete at a higher level down the stretch, and they didn't. That's the concerning part of this. They did not step up in that moment, and now it felt like there were two games that they let completely slip away, because maybe game number one was in their head in game number two, and maybe in game number one, the previous season was in their head. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say that for a lot of new players that you are not capable of forgetting what happened a year ago. A lot of these guys weren't even here. And for the guys that were here, I would imagine that they want to forget about it. They want to do everything in their power to cancel it from the collective memory of their memories, the fans' memories, the league's memories. I mean, everyone. Nobody wants to think about what the Sharks have been the last few seasons. They want to chart their own course and give themselves a new narrative, but not if they're playing like this. Not if they come out looking so flat-footed. Not if they come out not moving their legs. Not if they come out turning the puck over. These are things that have to change immediately, and I'm not trying to be overly harsh here. It's just everyone can see it. I don't think I'm saying anything that the Sharks themselves cannot identify as being problematic. And maybe they don't know why they've come out flat-footed, but they need to figure that out and give themselves a better chance, or else this is going to get very, very tenuous and very, very concerning very, very quickly. You know, Yaroslav Askarov, this is a player who was very, very highly touted in a Nashville system known for developing goalies. Last year, in what we saw of him, the skill level was very, very high. The way people talked about him, people I know around the NHL talked about him as being a franchise-defining netminder. I watched him with the Barracuda. I watched him the Sharks. I said, this guy has the ability to change games, change narratives for a franchise. And then suddenly, you know, although he did make some very, very nice saves last night, you know, there were some goals that I am sure he wants back. And now through two games, he's given up 13 goals. I mean, that's hard to understand. I mean, I understand that the defense in front of him was not great, but some of those, he's still got to be able to make the stop. That's got to be where it starts and ends. And I don't get why he has not looked like the same player. I don't know what he has had happen to his game. It doesn't look like he's dealing with an injury. There was a great save he made last night where he did the splits, but he's got to figure it out. This is not why the assets for Tomáš Hertl were moved to bring him to San Jose. He is a very, very talented netminder. I cannot figure out why he's not playing up to his level. And I do acknowledge that the defense in front of him has not been flawless. But then you start going down, you know, the line with this San Jose team and trying to figure out how do they figure this out? You know, maybe you go back to more of what the lineup looked like in games number one and two. Yeah, the Sharks lost both those games, but they also earned a point out of both those games. And I know that Ryan Warsawski has been tinkering with things and been trying to move things around and figure out the answer. And I certainly can't blame him for doing so. But, you know, right now you got to figure out something, and you got to figure it out quickly, because after tonight's game against Pittsburgh, then they go out onto the road, especially at the East Coast, going up against some very high level competition. And you do not want this to snowball. You do not want this to turn into something that defines your entire season, where everybody starts saying it's the same old Sharks. But this has been one of the things that I've talked about. You need to do it yourself. You know, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Yaroslav Askarov and Sam Dickinson and Shakir Mukhmudulin and all these players need to prove this year that San Jose is a place you want to come and improve your career and sign as a free agent, because you see this team is building something special. That's on them. Free agents are not going to save the day. It is dependent on these guys to change the narrative for this franchise and prove that there is something here worth building upon. I was able to talk to Roxy Bernstein, who was on the play-by-play for ESPN last night. Of course, he is a Bay Area native and frequently at Sharks games himself, and he knows this team very, very well. So, Roxy, I guess the first question I will ask you is, what should the concern level be for Sharks fans out there as this team has now lost four straight to start the year and has given up 22 goals in that span, especially concerning the fact that they gave up six tonight to Utah, a team that had only scored eight goals in their first four games?
Yeah, but the one thing I will say about them, Ted, is we know they have the firepower, right? With guys like Keller and certainly Schmaltz has the hat trick tonight. It was only a matter of time before they started scoring. And for San Jose, they were without Klingberg tonight, without Liljegren. And all of a sudden, you insert Iorio, who was claimed on waivers yesterday, into the lineup. And it's and the connectivity just isn't there right now with the D. And it's a lot of new parts. There's a lot of new faces that Ryan Warsofsky is trying to weave in. Look, we didn't have the feeling this was going to be a playoff team at the beginning of the year. We're looking for improvement from the Sharks, right, to take that next step and build toward maybe a playoff run next season. I don't think that you need to hit the panic button. I think it's just one of those nights. And the slow start didn't help in this game, but I like the response I saw from them, that they pushed their way back into the game. Certainly the third period was deflating, but I think you have to take a look at the big picture and the long haul with this group and not just take it in little increments, because there's a bigger goal with this team. And tonight was certainly rough, but there were still some positives, I think. For example, mentioned the D. I thought Sam Dickinson was much better, Ted, tonight than he was against Carolina on Tuesday. And that's something that could be significant down the road for the Sharks.
Most definitely. He looked comfortable, got a little bit of time on the power play as well, which was nice for him to get that experience and just looked that much more comfortable out there on the ice, which I think is obviously a big part of the battle for any young player, especially a defenseman, a position which has a much, you know, more steep learning curve and generally takes longer to develop. We also saw the continued abilities of both Tyler Toffoli and Jeff Skinner, two veterans who came to this team. Tyler Toffoli, obviously, in year number two, Skinner in year number one. But Tyler Toffoli spent all of last year producing. So far, he's doing that again. And Jeff Skinner, throughout the start of this season, has been one of the most consistent performers for San Jose.
And with Skinner, he is such a beautiful skater, right? That's the one thing that people have always marveled about his game, is his edge work and just his skating ability. And it's been on display, for example, against Carolina when he drew the penalty the other night, when he drove to the net. And he makes just smart hockey plays. And it's crazy to think about when he made his playoff debut last year, over 1,000 games into his career, finally got to the playoffs, and finally was on a good team. He hadn't played on some good teams over the years. He's been a point producer throughout the course of his career. The Sharks bring him in to try to add a veteran presence and get some more offensive firepower. And so far, it's looked like a really good move to bring him in. And he's going to help the development. And not just guys like Celebrini, but Will Smith and all the young talent that's coming up. It's good to have those veterans, Toffoli, Skinner around, and Nick Leddy. These are the guys you need to help build a culture and winning habits, which this organization desperately needs.
It really seemed like Macklin Celebrini trying to push the entire team. And I know that's a problem with a lot of young players. They put too much weight on their shoulders, but you know, he was doing everything he could to get the team back into the game.
His compete level is off the charts, as we know, and everybody raves about it and the inner drive that he has. But you're seeing also, I think, the players around him, Ted, respond. For example, when he got tangled up with Logan Cooley in the corner. And then you see everybody skate over and come to his aid. Basically, like, you don't put your hands on him. He is unequivocally the leader of this team, and he is setting the tone. And it's evident when you look at how the players respond around him. And for tonight, look, you could have just mailed it in those last few minutes. He gets a power play goal, gets his first of the season. And that was a big deal. It really was, that this team's showing you how hard they're going to compete to the end. Even when, look, they're playing out the clock, they're not going to win the game, But there was Celebrini trying to do what he does and set an example for this team.
What about Yaroslav Askarov? He made some very big saves in that first period. As you alluded to earlier, did not have great defense in front of him throughout the game. But it seemed like that one error he made was the turning point in this game, not to borrow too heavily from my NBC show. But when you see those moments, you can see, ooh, that could have a ripple effect. The Rock Pond ripple happened very, very quickly. And it seemed like that was the point of no recovery for San Jose.
Yeah, but I think only the one of the goals he would probably like to have back, right? That he played a strong game and he kept him in it for the longest time.
Yeah.
When Utah kept peppering him, especially in that first period as it was developing, it was Askarov that was making saves that gave them a chance to come back into the game. And yeah, he had the brain cramp right there and turned the puck over, and Liam O'Brien took advantage, and ended up being the game-winning goal. But the problem, and you talked about it, is the D has to be better in front of him. Mm-hmm. They can't leave their goalie high and dry. And the way he played early in this game, it gave the Sharks a chance to come back. It just wasn't sustainable for them.
And now the Sharks have to bounce back and take on Pittsburgh at home tomorrow night, the second night of a back-to-back away and home. What do you think the message from Warsawski's got to be? Just forget about the game and prepare for the next one?
I think it's more the same, the message he delivered after the Carolina game. It's about compete, right? The way they started this game tonight, I think for Ryan Warsawski is unacceptable. And they made some other mistakes in terms of, okay, they get the too many men penalty. These are things that they have to try to eliminate. But they need to come out with a stronger start. It was disappointing, I think, for them that they didn't generate a shot, I think, for the first, 10 or 11 minutes of this game, coming on the heels of the way the Carolina game ended. The start needs to be better tomorrow night. I think that's something Ryan Warsawski is going to stress with his group heading into the Penguins game tomorrow night.
Roxy, I appreciate your time as always. I know that you want to get to the end of your day, so I will let you go. But a great call, my friend. It was great listening to you, and I'm sure I'll see you at the tank soon, all right?
You might see me as soon as tomorrow night, Ted. Thanks.
Great stuff there from Roxy Bernstein, who, again, is one of my favorites out there, and we're lucky to have a guy who knows the Sharks that well doing the calls when they are not on the local broadcast. But I do want to get into some post-game sound. Let's hear what head coach Ryan Warsawski had to say after this one.
Ryan, why the slow start tonight?
I don't know. I have to ask the guys.
What needs to change tomorrow to have a quicker start?
Probably mentally ready to play.
You guys found some momentum in the first period with, I think, the Reeves line in particular. That's a line that you kept all season, Gaudreau and Gaudette. What are they doing right that the other team, or the rest of your team, is doing?
Playing towards their identity.
In that first period, at the second goal, you sat the Delandre line for a little while. What did you see there to sit them for a while, and did you see a response from them?
Yeah, that they got better. We don't have the puck, and they're leaving the zone. Can't play winning hockey that way.
You guys battled back in that second period. You got two goals in the power play. Are those just things you can use to build on this for tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll look at it. We'll get clean up a lot of areas.
The third period, you guys tied the game, got it close. What happened in the third period?
Yeah, we give up that one. Askey is the one behind the net there. And then just sat in our heels there a little bit in the third, and that's what good teams will do to you.
After the Askarov gives up that goal, do you feel like you guys were deflated, particularly after that goal?
No, actually, I thought we had good energy on the bench heading into the period. The guys in the dressing room, we were saying the right things, but we got to start doing the right things.
Was it maybe the quick goal to start the third period, and that seemed
turn?
Asking particularly about a few guys, what did you think of Iorio, his first game?
He had some good things. Some things you got to clean up.
Dickinson, a tough game against Carolina. Do you feel like tonight was a good response game for him?
Yeah, he did some things better in some areas. Again, the game's quick for him, so I've got to keep working with him.
What does Dmitry Orlov need to improve?
I think playing his offside is tough. He's got to defend a little bit better. His puck play has got to be better. So that's where that's at.
And obviously, quick turnaround tomorrow. Just what's the message to the guys?
Yeah, we'll meet tomorrow, and there'll be a message.
And I think you could hear the disappointment in Ryan Warsawski's voice. Let's hear what Yaroslav Askarov had to say after this one, as they start out by asking him about what happened on that third goal.
Just bad bounce. After skate.
How do you kind of bounce back from that yourself mentally? It seemed like you made some good saves after that.
It's like bad bounces happen sometimes. It's all right. Like, that's part of the game, and just like you have to battle in. You have to keep going.
For the team itself, it seemed like it was a slow start, and you helped keep them in the game there. Just what would you say in general, like what the team can do better in terms of the start?
Yeah, I would say like we have to play 60 minutes, and we have to play from like first minute of the game. We can't start like play whatever like after first 10 minutes. It's kind of like tough sometimes. We have to manage that.
How tough is it right now, just for yourself or the team? You know, kind of just haven't really found your game yet this season. Maybe, you know, both of you guys.
Just like keep battling, keep working, and it's gonna be happens. It's close. I think so. It's somewhere. Just have to believe.
Are the spirits is it still optimistic? Spirits are still high in the locker room that you guys will turn this around?
Yeah, for sure. You know, yeah.
And I want to ask you some of the goals that they beat you with. Do you find that teams are looking to try to beat you high? Is that sort of something that you've noticed, or that you haven't seen anything like that, trend like that?
Second option.
And I think it's good to hear that Askarov does not sound like he is in a panic moment or anything, or that he's in a loss for words. I think that he's probably just having a little bit of a rough patch with his game, and I think his natural ability will allow him to figure it out. We've seen it in the NHL. Guys don't just lose their ability to play. They figure things out, especially when you're at that high of a talent level. Let's hear what Mario Ferraro had to say after this one.
Mario, you're paired with a new partner tonight. I just said, what did you think of Vincent Iorio?
I thought he was pretty good out there today. Obviously, us as a pairing, like, we had a little couple hiccups that we really do want to clean up. But, you know, he's, for a guy that hasn't, you know, played too many NHL games, he looked pretty poised and came into the lineup, and I thought he played pretty well. I thought our second period was really good. You know, obviously, like I said, you know, some mistakes in the third and in the first that kind of cost us a little bit. But all in all, you know, I like his game.
That one of the mistakes was the Carcon goal that made it 4-2. Just kind of what you see there?
I mean, that's just collectively we all got to be communicating. I don't know. I kind of got to go back and watch it. I think we just, you know, I got to be talking to him a little bit better there. Maybe he keeps it going. And, you know, just kind of an unlucky play. He tried to make the right play on the breakout. If that gets me, it's a clean breakout, you know. So if I can get on my horse when that puck is turned over and get to the front of the net, maybe they don't score there. So it's a collective thing, communication. And, you know, like I said, he did a really good job tonight. Considering coming into like a new system and stuff like that. So
I spoke with Barkley about just the slow start tonight. What do you guys have to do better there?
Yeah, it was, you know, we were back on our heels too early. We got to start at the opposite and put them back on our heels. Obviously, it's a road game, but that's, you know, we got to be even tighter in situations like that. You know, I think just playing simple and getting pucks in and getting pucks out, like, are really important. Obviously, you know, they put a lot of pressure on us, especially in the neutral zone. They came through the neutral zone with a lot of speed. So if we're as tight as we can next time in these road buildings, you know, to be tight and gapped up and not give them that time and space, then, you know, maybe they'll help us out a little bit. But for sure, our start wasn't good enough tonight.
Any reason you can point to for that, the start?
Just collectiveness. Like, we just weren't ready as a group, and we got to figure it out quick.
And in the third period, struggled too. Just kind of what happened there?
I don't really have an answer for you right now. I apologize for that. I don't know. We felt good. I thought we felt good coming into the third, and they get a quick one there, and then we just looked deflated. So that obviously can't happen. It's there's a lot of time left in a game to come back, and we just, you know, we didn't press on the gas.
Ryan Morsowski has talked about kind of guys kind of being in a losing mentality now. Just how do you guys get out of that?
Get in the winning mentality, you know, do the little things that it's going to take to get a win. And, you know, we got to put together a full 60 minutes where we're scattering. Our game is scattering. We got, you know, 20 good minutes or 15 good minutes and then five bad ones. So we got to be more consistent and do the little things right.
No outward panic from San Jose, but I think you could hear it in all of their voices that they are a little bit at a loss as to why things are going the way they are to start this season. The good news, there are 78 games left, and we've got another one tonight at 7:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. We're all out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
Celebrini still out there. Shoot, score! Backlund Celebrini rips one home. That's his first of the year. It goes up top. It's a power play goal, and the Sharks make it 6-3.